1580 AM Columbus, W224 EG Madison, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The first order of business in Donald Trump's criminal trial today will be addressing the gag order that prosecutors say Trump has violated at least 10 times. They want him fined $1,000 for each violation and held in contempt of court. More pro-Palestinian protests on college campuses.
Security heightened at Columbia University, where student demonstrators pitched tents at the center of campus. The encampments still in place this morning. Classes there going virtual Monday. University President Manoush Shafiq authorized the NYPD to make arrests last week.
ABC Stephanie Ramos, there were more than 100 arrests made at NYU last night when police cleared away a protest there. Columbia will only have hybrid classes for the rest of the semester because of the demonstrations. The Senate returns to Washington today to vote on the $95 billion security package for Israel, Ukraine, and Taiwan. The bill comes as Ukraine says it desperately needs firepower in the war against Russia. This is ABC News. California lawmakers considering a measure that could change up the system that lets some air travelers cut the security line.
At many airports, once a CLEAR member is welcomed by CLEAR employees or escorted to the front of the TSA line to cut in. That has angered California State Senator Josh Newman, who's annoyed that wealthier passengers who can pay get to cut in line. He wants to put an end to it. His bill would force CLEAR to have its own dedicated security line to California airports or go away. The major airlines oppose the bill. CLEAR says it is proud to partner with 9 airports in California. Alex Stone, ABC News, Los Angeles.
The first spikes are in the ground at a new high-speed railroad between Las Vegas and Los Angeles.
Are we the only industrialized country in the world that doesn't have a high-speed rail in America? And 4 years from now, we won't be saying that anymore.
Wes Eden, founder of Brightline Railways. The project promises to get riders between the two cities in about 2 hours, half the time it takes to drive. I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Why choose Weikert Realtors? Because your community is our community. We're your neighbors, your students, your chefs, your soldiers, your builders, your actors, your musicians, and your radio personalities. We love this city as much as you do, and that's why we want to help you live your best life here. Because we are your realtors. Call us today and let us help you find your next home. 608-821-7002 or visit Weikert-LakePoint.com. Weikert Realtors Lake Point, a home for all.
Do you owe back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now and get some help. For a limited time, the IRS offers a tax forgiveness program called the Fresh Start Initiative. Our team can make it easier for you to pay back taxes, avoid tax liens, and get a fresh start.
I call Tax Solutions now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Call Tax Solutions now. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193.
800-281-8193. Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. 12 law enforcement agencies around Wisconsin are splitting almost $2 million in opioid settlement funds. Wisconsin will get more than $750 million of the National Settlement Fund through 2038. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services says some initiatives will help keep opioid addicts out of jail or treat people already in jail. North America might be in for another smoky summer. Dr. Bruce Snyder is with the Health Professionals for a Healthy Climate. He says climate change is fueling hotter and drier summers, raising the risk of wildfires.
And when that happens, people have more respiratory disease, people have chronic lung disease, tend to get sicker. So there's a lot of downstream consequences.
And insects that carry disease thrive in warmer weather. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
The Bucks and the Pacers tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens. Game 2 of the playoff series tonight between the Milwaukee Bucks and Indiana Pacers at Fiserv Forum. Giannis is doubtful. How can the Bucks win without him? Chris Middleton.
Collective effort. I mean, even when he comes back, we'll have to do it as a group. But knowing that one of your main guys is out, one of the best players in the league, it's not going to be easy. So everybody has to, you know, step up to the plate, do a little bit more, but not by themselves.
Baseball, the Brewers lost to the Pirates 4-2. The Crew's pitching staff dealing with injuries. Left-hander Wade Miley placed on the field 15-day IL after pain in his left elbow, doctors ordering an MRI. Jacob Junis, out with a shoulder, got hit by a baseball during batting practice, had to be taken to the hospital by ambulance for treatment. College basketball, one of the best players in UW Green Bay history, is returning to coach. The Press Gazette says that Kayla Teklog will be named the women's team's next head coach. The now 35-year-old Kayla Karius has been the women's head coach at South Dakota. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
We could catch an isolated shower or thunderstorm early to mid-afternoon today. Otherwise, partly cloudy. We'll get to 67 for a high, a bit breezy today with wind southwest to west at 15 to 25. Tonight, mostly clear, down to 31. Tomorrow, sunshine with a high of 55. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 51.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Brewers tickets for Friday. You could be the winner. We hear from the mother of an organ donor and an organ recipient from Versity. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 11.
You're listening to Mad Radio WMDX, Madison's home for the Todd Lobel Show.
It's the John and Gordy Show.
Do you know what this means?
Wouldn't you like to know, weather boy?
You're pretty high and far out, aren't you? What kind of kick are you on, son?
No good bastard. Your show sucks.
What made me think this was a good day to stop drinking?
Buddy, do you want coffee?
Coffee.
Black coffee.
Coffee.
They warned us about people like you!
What a load of crap.
Thank you, sir. May I have another?
We'll do it live!
And that's the way it is.
Only on Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX. Take it away, boys.
Okay.
They did warn everybody about us.
But here we are. We're closing in on 6 months here, John. Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to have to count the days.
On the 30th of April.
All right. Yeah. We've got a big story here about the legislature basically, again, stopping something from happening because they're just not happy about what the governor did. They're going to take it out on our kids.
Yeah.
They're supposed to be protecting our kids, but they're not really. And they don't really care. It's power. It's what they want. They want power. The Wisconsin mega legislature, they filed a lawsuit against Governor Evers and the Department of Public Instruction, alleging that Evers improperly used his veto pen on legislation concerning literacy education. Okay?
What?
So,
why would they be against literacy?
Oh, they don't like that veto pen at all. It's too much power.
Did they read the
document? Almost got rid of that during the lame duck session where they took all the power away from the governor and the attorney general. But, you know, this hung in there, and he still has some power, some. The drama started when Evers used his veto power to change parts of a bill passed in February, including a section that would require DPI to only use allocated funds for specific literacy programs. Okay, that makes sense.
Okay.
As part of that veto, Evers altered the language of the bill, which Wisconsin Mega said he can't do. Okay, it's a process thing, okay?
All right.
So that DPI could use the money for any literacy program that the office deems fit. Now, this is, of course, the Department of Public Instruction. They have some experience in education.
You would hope.
They just don't willy-nilly hang out at the dome like the legislature does. Thinking that they know more about education than the Department of Public Instruction, please. Anyway, the lawsuit claims DPI does not have a titled literacy program. So it has to have a title.
Okay.
And they have to have a specific reason for going to that titled program.
Right.
Lawyers for the legislature are asking for a temporary injunction to halt DPI from spending any funds approved for literacy. So we're going to stop that. It's just like putting money away for PFAS mitigation. But never spending
never
the money.
Never spending it. Just letting it sit there.
So now they want an injunction to hold up on that funding for literacy programs in school.
Okay.
Come on, folks.
What is going on?
You know, something's wrong.
Hey, let's go to the John and Gordy hotline. We have Todd or Billy joining us this morning with a comment or a question. Good morning, Todd or Billy.
Good morning. I just wanted to point out something that I think is pretty wonderful that happened recently. On Thursday, President Biden announced the establishment of the American Climate Corps, based on the model of the old Civilian Conservation Corps, which was such a huge success. And, I myself was part of, I was a counselor for the Wisconsin Youth Conservation Corps back in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And wow, what a wonderful, hardworking group of young Wisconsinites I had the pleasure to work with and lead at that time. It's just a great idea, a great model, and I'm just so thrilled that the American Conservation Corps, Climate Corps, is going to get off the ground.
That is fantastic. Yeah, I did not hear about that. That's a great point.
That's terrific.
We're going to look into that, and we'll bring the topic up here on the show sometime, all right?
Thank you, Todd or Billy.
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
That's me. That's right. And I think we need to make a Dark Tony meme, building in funding for 400 years. That was a pretty boss move. I think we need to get a meme with him with laser eyes like they have of President Biden.
That's
way
right.
Go, Tony.
Okay. I think we could. We could try something like that. All right. Hey, when you figure out who you are, give us a call again. Just kidding.
All right,
man. We'll see you later.
Todd or Billy. He still can't make up his mind. Well, that's interesting. The American Climate Corps. I had not heard that
we'll
story.
Look into that.
We'll have to look into that.
Because it's another big thing that Biden did.
Yeah.
And no one ever gets to talk about it because we're talking about the interesting points of Trump on trial?
Mm.
Oh, don't do it. Don't do it.
Had to put in another dime. That's it.
Can't bring up the name Trump here.
Oh, he did it again.
On the program.
Okay. The money is adding up. Again, it's going to his political funds. You know, we're all chipping in because he's broke.
No, we're not. We're never going to send this to him.
A nickel or a dime at a time.
We'll promise it to him, just like he promises to pay his staff, but he never does pay them, does he?
It's all a promise.
And they resent that.
Okay. Hey, it's time to give away a couple of tickets here.
All right,
we've got Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Save the World Comedy Tour tickets. Stephanie Miller, yes, you listen to her every day right after the John and Gordy Show right here on WMDX. She is coming to the Barrymore Theater Saturday, May 11th. Showtime is at 8 o'clock. Doors open at 7. And this is an adults-only show, 18+. We've got a pair of tickets. You can call us right now on the John and Gordy hotline, 608-879-8255. Dial carefully, okay? We'll take phone calls only on this contest.
Just carefully.
608-879-8255. If you'd like to get a pair of tickets to Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Save the World Comedy Tour. Again, she's at the Barrymore Theater, Saturday, May 11th at 8 o'clock. We'll be there. It'll be a fun time.
Yeah.
And she's bringing her whole crew from the radio show.
And we'll have the sexy senior liberals.
That's us.
Hanging out in the lobby.
Wow. Okay.
Oh,
phone lines are lighting up.
All
excellent.
Right. Fantastic.
Very good.
Let's talk about the Supreme Court, all right?
Okay.
In fact, we're going to try to get a legal expert on here, and we're going to talk about all this stuff. And they've got a very busy week. They've already started hearing cases, and I'll just run by some of those cases for you.
This is their last week of the session, right?
Yeah,
then they're taking a vacation.
They've got a tough week coming up. They've got some decisions already. Waiting in the wings.
We've given
to
away
be
our
revealed.
Tickets already. Congrats to Bud. For all the other people waiting on the line, I'm sorry, but we've got four more pairs to give away the rest of the week.
Yeah, that's right. So tune in again.
We're
going to
give another pair.
Tomorrow. Yeah,
two pair tomorrow.
Yep, I think so.
All right.
Okay.
Okay. The Supreme Court is hearing a case. Of course, can a president get away with murder? The High Court will weigh in.
Boy,
what?
Really?
Is this
really?
What kind of world are we living in?
It's so bizarre.
The High Court will weigh in if and when a president can claim criminal immunity for acts committed while in office.
Yeah.
Biden is getting his SEAL Team 6 ready, by the way, if the orange president
for his party,
the cultists who believe he's still president, gets his way. William Howell, a political scientist at the University of Chicago, said, "It's striking that a president 250 years into our nation's founding can even make this claim."
Good Lord.
I guess it's, you know, just waiting to be asked. How about this? Justices will decide if cities can punish people who sleep outdoors. The Oregon city of Grants Pass, where winter temperatures fall into the 30s, had banned tents, blankets, and pillows from public park encampments. So they're kicking all of the homeless people out, and they're thinking this can't happen because of the Eighth Amendment, which bars cruel and unusual punishment.
Mm.
It doesn't allow criminal charges against people who are sleeping outside when they have nowhere else to go.
Okay.
So the Supreme Court is going to make a decision on this? Oh, I can't wait for that, this particular Supreme Court. Or how about this one?
Okay.
The Supreme Court will take on a conflict over Idaho's strict abortion ban, which the Biden administration says will harm emergency room patients. Imagine getting a physician to demonstrate a danger to the mother's life in an emergency situation. That's what's required, and that's what is before the court, basically, is that a physician has to demonstrate a danger to the mother's life in an emergency room.
Right.
What, and what this is doing basically all across our country is that there is a federal law that requires treatment for anybody who is in an emergency situation at an emergency room anywhere in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And that's breaking down now because of these abortion bans.
Right.
So now we have to go to the court. It's in front of these six justices.
Yeah.
And we'll see how they judge that.
Mm-hmm.
I swear to God, all of these things are going to tear apart. They're going to tear this country apart.
Well, isn't the immunity case before the Supreme Court too? Did you mention that one? The presidential, that was the first one.
Get away
one,
with murder.
Yeah, yep. Get away with murder. Yep. Right.
Yeah. Again, SEAL Team 6 is ready and waiting. Biden is all set to go.
Okay.
It's the only way we're going to solve this problem.
They'll probably judge that one last, or they'll come to some sort of conclusion on that one right before they shut down and leave.
And so far, they let a ban on organized protests continue. That's before the court. That will be before the court. A ban on transgender care continues. That should be in front of the court, but they want the lower court to decide that first. But in the meantime, they can ban transgender care. Now, I saw a study basically saying that they're not sure whether transgender care is a good treatment or not. You know, I'd leave it up to the medical community. Okay.
Right.
And the conservative Supreme Court has passed so many divisive right-wing hot-button issues into law that we don't even need the Congress anymore to do this stuff.
Apparently not.
We don't need the Marjorie
Taylor Greens. They're legislating from the bench.
Right. They're taking all the important issues. And they're deciding it for everybody else. And remember, way back in the early 1800s, there was no guarantee that the Supreme Court had any jurisdiction over anything the Congress did.
Right.
I mean, these are co-equal branches.
Yeah.
So the judicial branch can't necessarily say, well, you can't do this to an independent branch of government.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the argument. And I truly think that that stands, that should work today. We should make that argument again. They shouldn't be able to do it. It's advisory, but they shouldn't be able to, you know, stop legislation.
Mm-hmm. 7:19 coming up on the John and Gordy Show. Derek Van Orden, listen to this. Derek Van Orden called Matt Gaetz tubby. We got that coming up.
Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Your chance to win a distribution deal, be a co-headliner, get discovered, and learn more about the music business is back with Wisconsin Dells Music Summit, May 10th and 11th at the Chula Vista in Wisconsin Dells. Our celebrity panelists have worked with great musicians, producers, and artists like Drake, Adam Levine, Rihanna, Usher, Pussycat Dolls, and more. Learn key aspects from top industry professionals as they give once-in-a-lifetime advice to stay on top of the technology, laws, and trends in the music business. This event will include beat battles, ciphers, collective panel discussions, Q&A segments, and breakout rooms for masterclass teachings. You'll want to have your talent ready to share on an MP3, WAV file, or QR code for this resume-building opportunity. Ticket sales on Eventbrite February 1st. Packages include overnight stay at the Chula Vista, water park passes, and admission to the Wisconsin Dells Music Summit May 10th and 11th. Call 608-516-4354 or email wisconsindellsmusicsummit@gmail.com with questions.
Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
There must be some kind of way out of here.
There must be.
Mad Radio WMDX 92.7 FM at 1580 AM. Before we move on here, let's go to the phone lines. And Mark's got something for us. Mark, welcome to the program this morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Yeah, I think the Supreme Court should actually crack open the copy of the Constitution, provided that it's actually a real Constitution, not something that they made up on their own. That Article 2 actually points out, you know, the whole impeachment thing talks about high crimes and misdemeanors. Well, they wouldn't talk about high crimes or misdemeanors if the president was immune to everything. You know, it is just...
exactly.
Good point.
Yeah. Really good point, yeah. Mark.
it just is, and as Hamilton pointed out, I think it was Federalist 69, that the president is, you know, he's not a king, you know, even though kings have been subject to the law, you know, as an example I've given before. Charles II had his head lifted because he violated the law over in merry old England. Mm-hmm. That subject to disgrace and to punishment. I mean, that it is just it's just ridiculous that they're even entertaining this. I mean, that they should be ashamed that they're even entertaining this, and that it just shows that they're part of the whole mega movement for a good deal of them, that they want to protect this, you know, this criminal who is now sitting in court, you know, hopefully not making the air in that place a noxious environment. some reports are true.
I think they are true, probably.
All right.
Yeah. And I'll just leave it at that.
All right.
Thanks, guys, for your program.
All right. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's... I still can't get over what is happening with the Second Amendment. Honestly, it's probably the most egregious of all of them because it's just it's dominoes falling. You know, they determined that you had a right to bear arms when you don't really, because it doesn't say anything about that in the Second Amendment at all. And then, of course, now bump stocks are okay because that if you take those away, it infringes on your right to have a weapon. I don't get that. I mean, the bump stock is an extra item you add on to the weapon. Doesn't have anything to do with it, but it infringes. My head explodes just even trying to think about it. And now they want to do away with all laws, all carry laws, because it's an infringement on a person's right to bear arms. I mean, it just keeps getting worse and worse and worse while, you know, society has to deal with all these mass shootings or even just, you know, individual shootings. It's getting out of hand, and that's because the Second Amendment has been misinterpreted right off the bat.
And what can we do about it? You know, I mean, you just feel
change
helpless. Exactly.
We talked about it initially, you know, when Biden got reelected and everything. It's the whole thing here is that what we need to do is expand the Supreme Court and add maybe three or five more people. We've got to do something here to create a larger platform.
And does Congress have to do that, or is does the president? I think he can assign to do that. Didn't they talk about that way back when FDR was running things? Roosevelt talked about expanding the court. And they were talking about, you know, adding six or eight more Supreme Court justices way back then. Or maybe having a Supreme Court where they had a couple of different levels, like the High Court and then, you know, a sort of a Supreme Court, like a pool that they would pick from if somebody was going to leave this, like a adjunct Supreme Court.
I had not heard that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's all kinds really of ideas idea. Of how to fix it. It just, the fix is in now, though.
Yeah, seems, the fix is in at this point.
And nothing changes unless somebody retires
and
or dies.
And it wouldn't have been like this had they not held up the Obama nomination.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for Merrick Garland.
Again, the dominoes kept falling in regards to that.
Right.
I want you to cue up cut 118.
Yeah.
Let's get to the story that you promoted here. Why not, right? I mean, you know.
It just seems kind of funny to me. I mean, let's lighten the load a little bit.
Northern Wisconsin decided to put Derek Van Orden into Congress. Don't know why. He really didn't have any qualifications. He had military experience. And, you know, military experience certainly does count for something. When you're serving the people in Congress, what the hell are they thinking? Okay. Anyway, just an aside.
Right.
I digress. Let's get to digress even more.
Okay.
Derek Van Orden told Matt Gaetz to kick rocks, Tubby. And let's play the cut here as he's
rocks.
Being interviewed.
Tubby. Actually, I said kick rocks, Tubby. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the reason being, Matt Gaetz is a bully. Mm-hmm. Chip Roy's a bully. Bob Good's a bully. And the only way to stop a bully is to push back hard. Mm-hmm. The majority of the majority, the vast majority of the majority, is sick and tired of these high school antics.
The only thing I gleaned from it is that Mr. Van Orden is not a particularly intelligent individual.
This is today's Republican conference.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. That was Matt Gaetz saying he's not a very intelligent individual. And we know that. We've seen examples of that constantly. Talk about bullying. My God, if there isn't one big bully out there, it's got to be Derek Van Orden, right? My goodness.
Sam?
His idea of how to stop bullying also goes against, at least from my generation, everything that I was taught in schools about how to deal with a bully. You don't fight back
don't
against
fight
a
back.
Bully.
You just walk away and ignore
right,
him. Or
right,
hey,
exactly.
That,
Well, you know, maybe Derek Van Orden does have a point, though. If you train these individuals how to change a tire, you know, you might...
That's the whole key.
You might get them on the path to, right. I don't know what.
Learn how to change a tire. That's...
And he's got a book. What's the name of the book? Something about manly men or manly bullies or something. I don't know. Okay, so you know this is one comment on Twitter X. Derek Van Orden calling someone else tubby and a bully is off the scale. Cannot even be measured. Badgers in the Wisconsin District 3.
Okay.
Help rid us of this ongoing embarrassment. Please vote him out.
Okay. Sam, did you find the quote?
Yeah, I found his book.
The book.
Book of Man, A Navy SEAL's Guide to the Lost Art of Manhood.
Oh, my goodness.
Changing a tire is right up there.
My head hurts just thinking about that.
Make your bed every night, every day. Derek Van Orden. Yeah. Okay.
All right. Well,
coming up,
it's hard to imagine Derek Van Orden actually being voted in to anything. I mean, he objected to a librarian having an LGBTQ book display in a library. I mean, little things trigger this psychopath.
Okay. coming up in our next episode. Well,
it's true.
No,
it's true.
Ahead.
You know, all
right.
I'm just telling it like it is. I'm just laying it out there for everybody
balls
to make
and strikes.
Their own decisions.
So I got you. Yep.
I don't want to influence them.
We're going to be talking with some folks who are in the Badger Apple Corps. We have Kurt Main and Dan Busey. Bussy? I'm sorry, I don't know that name.
I haven't actually talked to them, so I don't know how to pronounce their names.
Okay,
good.
I'm glad
we
planned this all out. But yeah, there's something going on up at Badger Ordnance up in near Baraboo.
Yeah, they've
by the
got
bluffs
salamanders
there.
Up there with
with, wings.
With wings.
Well, we're not going to ask about that. Okay, or maybe we could. Right, well, maybe they've seen
maybe
some
they
of the salamanders flying around.
Oh,
up there.
You know, they know.
Lots of weird stuff happens up there. The Badger Ordnance, of course, closed for many years.
Yes.
Now it's opened up a little bit, and we've got people up there. The Badger Apple Corps have been checking out some of these apples, trees that have unusual fruits? We'll leave it there.
We'll ask him about it.
It's all coming up.
It's the John Gordy Show.
John Gordy in the morning.
As we were saying.
Let the sun shine.
It's the John Gordy Show.
You're listening to Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for Matt and Air on Air.
High-speed broadband internet. In Wisconsin, some folks take it for granted. Others are still on the wait list. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Tuesday. And for a lot of our rural Wisconsin communities, they are on that wait list. Darren Moser knows all about it. He is the CEO of the Marquette Adams Telephone Cooperative. They're one of the providers that's working very hard to make sure even that last rural mile has access to high-speed broadband internet. But he says financial support, both on the state scene and the federal scene, has been critical.
Our desire, our ability to push out into these areas that we weren't typically serving, we couldn't get into these areas without the grants. The cost models are just too expensive. Even when you figure at the average cost of $6,200 for what we've done so far, and those costs are going up as well. But you know, that takes several years before you get your investment back, and even several more before you get the operating costs back, and then after that, you can start looking at, is it returning on return on investment? So it's a long haul, and without these funds, that most of this construction would not get done.
Darren Moser, he is the CEO of the Marquette Adams Telephone Cooperative. He said he is hearing success stories when they do finally get rural communities connected. He said farms are able to monitor their livestock via video, kids are able to study at home, and family businesses can advertise online.
Over time, you want to work less of it, so you need your crop protection to work more of it. When you add Tapran or Last Chance Pro adjuvants from CHS, they will. Designed for maximum efficacy, Last Chance Pro improves the uptake and translocation of herbicides, while Tapran helps activate herbicides for better performance against tough-to-control weeds. Ask your local CHS retailer how Tapran and Last Chance Pro adjuvants can put your crop protection to work.
Don't let sick calves get you down and drain your profits. Get your calves up and moving with BioVet's Calf Electrolyte. Our Baselight product contains balanced electrolytes for restoring and maintaining proper fluid levels in scouring calves. Baselight also provides additional energy to support recovery. It's easy to mix, and calves drink it down to the last drop. Learn more about Baselight at bio-vet.com.
Innovation.
And in between the raindrops and the wind, Wisconsin farmers have stayed busy trying to get some spring planting done. According to the Wisconsin Ag Statistical Service, as of Sunday, 19% of our oats were in the ground, 25% of our potatoes were already planted, 22% of our spring tillage was already complete. The pasture ratings are 37% good to excellent. That's up 5 percentage points in just 1 week's time. And there were some scattered corn and soybean plantings reported in the south. I'm Pam Yonke.
We could catch an isolated shower or a thunderstorm early to mid-afternoon today. Otherwise, partly cloudy. We'll get to 67 for a high, a bit breezy today with wind southwest to west at 15 to 25. Tonight, mostly clear, down to 31. Tomorrow, sunshine with a high of 55. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 51.
People across Wisconsin are enjoying the rewards, stability, and flexibility of a career in healthcare. Why not you? Wish Caregiver Careers can get you started as a certified direct care professional. You'll learn the skills you need to make life better for older adults or people with a disability. All training is free and online, plus earn $500 in bonuses. Start your new career. Sign up today at wishcaregivercdcp.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Hey, I got a question for you. You hate bending over to put on your shoes? Wish you could just put them on standing or sitting without ever having to touch them? If so, then I have the shoe for you. Introducing new hands-free Skechers Slip-ins. With new Skechers Slip-ins, you just step in and off you go. You don't even need to lace up. So how do Skechers Slip-ins work? Well, there's a special smooth comfort pillow in the heel that helps your foot slide right into place. So just step in them and go. Find new hands-free Skechers Slip-ins for the whole family at a Skechers store, Skechers.com, or wherever stylish footwear is sold.
Broadcasting from the city where the official bird is the plastic pink flamingo, this is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
See, there was a video of somebody eating an apple right off the tree.
The birds are chirping, the sun is coming up, and the coffee's brewing. It's another beautiful morning in Madison, Wisconsin. What could make this day any more perfect? How about the John and Gordy Show on Mad Radio 92.7 FM WMDX?
I don't know if that's going to do it. But if we can try.
All right. Well, I don't know.
7:34 Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX. And time to welcome in our guest into the show here.
That's right.
Dan Bussey joins us this morning from Badger Apple Corps. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning.
Happy to have you with us. And I think we are just about to connect with Kurt here in just a moment.
Good.
But in the meantime, we'll welcome you in and give us a little overview of Badger Apple Corps, yeah. what this is all about.
Badger Apple Corps is a wonderful project as we are trying to recreate the orchards that existed on the farms that were there before the U.S. Army took over the land in 1941 to build an Army ammunition plant. Mm-hmm. They took down most of the buildings, but they left a lot of the trees alone. So we're finding remnant trees from some of the old orchards and trying to figure out what they all are.
Okay.
So the farmers that were on that land were, they had orchards, basically.
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
Most all farms did. That was pretty standard.
Yeah. Oh, it was. Okay. All right. Now, different varieties. And were they actually trying to create different kinds of apples at that point, way back in 1940, before 1941?
Most farms just had apples to feed their families. That was mostly it. Mm-hmm. They'd have apples that ripened early in the season, all the way through practically snowfall. That way it was food for the families. That was the important thing. They could raise their own food that way.
Now, Dan, before they created the Badger Ordnance plant there, so how many farms were back in that area? How big of an area are we talking about? Is it something like 70 acres I read somewhere? Is that about right, or is it even bigger than that?
Oh, way bigger than that.
Is it? Okay.
It was a lot bigger. Just Kurt, you step in. You know
it. Kurt Main joins us now.
Yeah. Good morning. I hope you can hear me.
Yes.
Yeah, the Badger Army Ammunition Plant, when it was created in early 1942, right after Pearl Harbor. Actually, the original acreage was 10,000 acres.
Oh, good Lord. Well, I was off a little bit.
including more than 75 family farms at the time. Later on, it was shrunk down to about 7,300 acres. But yeah, the removal of 75 farm families in 3 months in early 1942.
Wow. It was quite a protest over that, wasn't there? You know, the neighbors across the highway.
Yeah, there was a lot of division in the community, but of course this is wartime and most of the landowners were patriotic, of course, citizens, but they were also amazing. Imagine losing your family farm that had been in your family for generations in just a couple months. So yeah, there was a lot of discontent. And it remained that way for decades, actually. Still a lot of hard feelings in the community. And part of this project was all about trying to heal over some of those old wounds.
Mm-hmm.
When did they shut down the Badger Army ammunition plant for good?
The call for decommissioning came in 1997. So it had been open during World War II, during the Korean and Vietnam conflicts, and then was on standby through the Cold War. And then in the 90s, it became evident that it was no longer needed for national defense purposes. So when it was closed in 97, that set off a very intense debate in my community. I live in Sauk Prairie area, so mm-hmm. I was part of that way back then. And again, this whole project has been about trying to find ways to overcome that history of division and loss and pain.
You know, I always wondered why they didn't have tours of that entire area, even when the buildings were still there. You know, they said something about contaminated soil and, you know, the dust from that being dangerous to people. Was that true? Or is that just made up to keep people from, you know, trekking out there?
Yeah. Of course, a lot of the local teenagers would hop the fence and take their own tour.
But, yes.
There were serious contamination issues. You had a serious groundwater contamination problem that continues to be treated. You had soil contamination. You had lead and asbestos in the building. So there was a lot of environmental concern, of course. But there was also, from a conservation standpoint, 7,500 acres of potential open space right next to the most visited state park in the state.
Oh, yeah.
So we're talking with Kurt Main and Dan Bussey from the Badger Apple Corps. And Kurt, I want to find out about the current apple orchards there and what you're doing to revive these apple orchards. And I know you have some volunteers and some other workers this is an ongoing project, right?
Yeah, let me first mention that it's under the umbrella of the work of the Sauk Prairie Conservation Alliance, which is a small nonprofit that we created during the transition of the Badger Ammo Plant. So the Badger Apple Corps project started when we began to notice that there were all these old apple trees scattered around the old plant lands. We've been able to locate about 150 trees. There's actually more than that. And some of them were in old orchards. A lot of them, however, were scattered in old farmsteads. And there were also probably a number of them that were, you know, army worker tossing out an apple core at lunchtime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And trees would grow. So we started the project as a way of perpetuating the trees that we found on the land. And the whole idea was to, well, first of all, see if there was anything interesting from a conservation standpoint in terms of the genetics of the trees and the varieties. That's Dan's area of expertise. But we were also trying to propagate these trees as a way of honoring those farm families that had been removed in 1942. So working with the now landowners at Badger, which are the Ho-Chunk Nation, the state of Wisconsin, and the U.S. Department of Agriculture, we found these trees, located, grafted them, started a nursery, and just in the last couple of years, we've been able to hand these apple trees out to lots of people, but especially focused on descendants of those farm families as a way of kind of maintaining and rebuilding a connection to their family history and the history of the land.
So they're not using the land in particular. You're selling the hybrids, right, from that land, and they can take it and plant them wherever they want to plant them. Is that correct? They're not using
exactly.
The ammo land.
This is the time of year when we do that.
Yeah, but they're not using the land itself of the ammo plant.
Dan, go ahead.
No, we've been working with these landowners, the new landowners or old landowners in case of the Ho-Chunk Nation.
Right.
We're able to propagate the trees in our nursery. And then this is the time of year actually when we do the transplanting. So we hand them out and they're 3 or 4 years old. They can take them home. They can do whatever they want with them. That was the whole idea. Give them, just give away these trees just as a way of reconnecting people.
And what's the reaction from some of these descendants of these families that had the 70 or 75 farms, you know, when you connect with them, how does that go? Either one of you.
Oh, it's incredible. There's so many stories. Yeah, I'll let Dan give his perspective, but I'll just say a word that when we do this, we often, you know, we're trying to be efficient. So we'll have 4 or 5 folks come to pick up trees. And there's been more than one occasion where one cousin will learn about another cousin, or will learn about an in-law or whatever. And we have a lot of conversations and tell a lot of stories. But Dan has watched this from a little bit distance. Maybe he has a different impression.
So of course, my interest always is the apple trees. That's my thing. But the nice thing is we've been able to plot the map of where the farms used to be on the property. And then when we find trees in those areas, we can connect specific trees to those farm families, which I think is really gratifying. That's what I like to see about
and
that.
And they add some context as to what kind of trees their family used to grow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's, what we find is pretty random. I mean, there's a lot of scattered seedlings, of course, just means an apple core that got pitched out and it sprouted and whatever. But we found remnant trees. You can tell when there are trees that are in a row, evenly spaced. It's obviously a planted grove of trees. Mm-hmm. And we find some of those. We don't find a lot, but we find enough that really makes it interesting. So then we have to figure out what were those trees back in 1941 that are still growing there. Mm-hmm. And we found one rare variety that we know of. It was a variety called a Dockham Russet. It was from a family that moved from New Hampshire to Greenfield Township back, I think, in the 1850s or 60s. And this is a tree that that family either brought with them or planted seeds, which came to be. It's a really lovely apple. So we're really pleased to get that out. And we have it in a number of places. It's a really wonderful russet apple.
Hmm. Talking with Dan Bussey and Kurt Main from Badger Apple Corps and what's going on at the Badger Ammunition Plant, which is just off Highway 12 near the Baraboo Bluffs there. So I've seen some video that you have on your website here at saucprairie.org/apple-corp. And some of the video shows you walking around some of these farm areas and you find like the corner of a barn. You know, you can actually locate some of these things. Have you located any remnants or any, artifacts or any unusual things as you continue to map things out there?
They've done a pretty good job of clearing
up most
of what remnant buildings there were.
Yeah.
So there isn't a lot to work with, but we can tell by the roads and other landmarks that where some of these farms were and be pretty close about what trees that we've been able to locate.
Mm-hmm. Kurt? Cool.
And I'd add, let me recommend also you take a look at the website and work of what group called the Badger History Group.
Okay.
It's amazing what this piece of land shares, the stories. The apples are just one part of a much larger story. And of course, it connects us here in Wisconsin to the global realities of World War II and what was happening and what's been happening ever since. So it's a funny little project to focus on apples, you might think. But what it does is help us connect our local community and story to these, global stories that have shaped our lives.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you can look at the Badger History Group website. You can also come out. Part of the land is open to the public, and you can drive around and have visitors' guides that you can look at that point out some of the historically important features of the Badger landscape.
What's the future of that area? You mentioned before all the different entities that have a stake in reclaiming that land or fixing. I mean, it's still getting cleaned up, correct?
Yeah, there's ongoing work. All of this flows out of work done 23 years ago now. When the plant closed, a community-led effort to figure out the future of the Badger plant, and that resulted in what was called the Badger Reuse Plan. I was actually on the committee that helped create that plan. So the three main landowners, the Ho-Chunk Nation, DNR, and U.S. Department of Agriculture, jointly manage the landscape. They have their different missions, but we work with them to help collaborate on different projects involving ecological restoration and land stewardship. And the Badger Apple Corps project is one small part of that effort.
Mm-hmm.
So as you drive by Highway 12 mm-hmm. between Madison and Baraboo, keep your eyes open because you're going to see, and you've already seen huge changes in the landscape as the 1,400 buildings have come down and the remnants of the old Sauk Prairie are actually used to help rehabilitate the prairie landscape that was there for thousands of years before the changes came.
And, the interesting thing and fascinating thing to me is conservation is something that includes all of us. I mean, that's something that doesn't matter what your political, background is or, conservation is such an important thing, especially at a place like that, that needs a lot of assistance to continue the good work that everybody's doing there.
Amen. Especially a day after Earth Day and Earth Week. And
right.
Dan might want to say a word about how apples have this way of bringing people together from such diverse backgrounds and viewpoints. So
we all have apple memories when we're kids or whatever. I mean, believe it or not, I have more people that tell me stories when they were a kid and had a wonderful apple, and they just love to be able to grow it again.
Well, Dan Bussey and Kurt Main, thank you for joining us from Badger Apple Corps, and continue the good work there. And if folks want to find out more, the best website is at sockprairie.org. Is that the best way to find out what's going on there?
Absolutely.
All right. Appreciate it, guys.
Stop by if you're poor.
Very good.
Yep, that area still has a lot of interest going on, and we appreciate your efforts in the Apple Corps. Thank you.
We'll be back with Leftovers and This and That coming up.
This is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute with a couple quick thoughts about boosting your credit score. The most important thing you can do is paying your bills on time. But I've got a way you can make your payments even on timer. Each month, set up not one, but two evenly spaced automatic payments so that your credit balance is always as low as possible. You're not going to pay more, you're just paying the same amount in two smaller hits to keep the card's overall balance low. This guarantees that whenever the credit bureaus check in on how much credit you're using, they're going to see you using an almost ridiculously low amount of your credit limit. The bureaus like this, and then they bump up your credit score. So set that extra auto payment up each month, and let's give your credit score a boost. Okay, folks, that was your Work Money Minute. Go to workmoney.org for more tips or text MONEY to 88285. Till next time, I'm Carrie Joy saying take good care.
You're listening to Mad Radio WMDX, Madison's home for the Todd Lobel Show.
Terrific if you like eating leftovers.
Leftovers?
Leftovers?
I kept the leftovers.
The leftovers!
Just some leftovers.
Leftovers for a week and a half.
We ate those leftovers!
Funeral leftovers.
The day we eat all the leftovers.
And I'll just have leftovers. Leftovers.
Enjoy. Have an apple.
Eat an apple today.
It's amazing, knowing that, the contaminated ground out there, right?
Well, they continue to clean it up.
But it doesn't have much of an effect on apple trees.
Apparently, that's maybe all on the topsoil, and they've cleaned all that out over the last couple of decades. So, yeah, it's good that they're doing all these efforts to continue to conserve the land out there and rehabilitate.
I'm assuming almost every, well, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I looked up Badger History Group, history group that one of the two mentioned, and I've never actually seen a picture of this place, and I've only driven past the land at night.
Yeah.
And there's an aerial photo on their website here. This place is massive. It's just like this sprawling, it looks like a small town, basically.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What do you say, 1,400 buildings there?
Yeah, 1,400 buildings over how many thousands of acres?
Yeah.
Right.
And 70 farms were there, 75 farms.
I mean, just think of the old staff, days. The barracks, how many people had lived out there.
Well, across the street there. Yeah, barracks.
The military.
Oh, yeah.
Stayed there on that land.
And those barracks are still, those barracks have been recently restored, and they're, small apartments out there.
I don't know why, but I keep thinking, I was watching a whole bunch of films on this Badger plant.
Yeah.
And I never think I remembered there was somebody was protesting the plant.
Well, back during Vietnam.
Flew an airplane over it, and they wanted to bomb the plant.
Right. Yeah, back in the late 60s, early 70s.
It's the same guys who did the Sterling Hall bombing, actually.
Is it?
Yep.
All right.
They stole an airplane and tried to drop homemade bombs on the ammunition plant, but they didn't go off, thankfully. Yeah.
Wow.
Memory serves. So, okay. Yeah, that's great. Yeah. It's such a fascinating area, having gone up to the Dells so many times and really passing the ammo plant and wondering what the hell that thing is. They had a sign out in front, but what? Well, what did they do?
I think one of the small buildings right near Highway 12 is a small museum.
Yes.
Has some pictures of the ammo plant and just a little bit of information about it. And that's open to the public as well.
Well, I'll try to, I
Yeah.
Actually, my wife and her writing pal took a tour of the plant. They had somebody give them the tour.
Yeah.
And they went back into the area where they have these ponds. Now, I'm serious about this.
Okay. This guy
talked about these ponds that they had back there and the flying salamanders. So I just look.
They're not flying salamanders. Come on. Come on.
Who
not
knows?
Flying salamanders.
Look, that's part of my memory. I'm trying to, you know, cement that. I want to find out if
they might have three eyes and two tails, but they're not flying.
That's true. Okay. That's true. Well, we'll find out. You know, I'll pass it along. I'll play that segment if I can.
Okay.
If there is anything there at all, just could have been my imagination. I don't
know. Maybe. Maybe you dreamed it.
Oh, yeah. Maybe. Maybe that was it.
Hey, tomorrow we're going to be at Short Stack Eatery. As we are every Wednesday from 6 to 8 a.m. At 301 West Johnson Street, just down the street from our studios here. That's at the corner of State and Johnson. And we invite you to stop by. We'll have some more Stephanie Miller tickets. Of course, that's coming up Saturday, May 11th at Barrymore Theater.
Oh, yes.
More tickets to give away. And we'll probably do something there special with that at Short Stack Eatery tomorrow morning. Should be a good time. Stop by.
Oh, yeah.
Say hi.
Definitely stop by and talk to us.
It's going
to
be a nice
day. We'll interview you if you have the courage.
Yeah. And I think our friend Zenon is going to be with us, the Z-Dog.
Oh.
Right? Is that right, Sam?
I believe so.
Oh, it's going to stop by.
Zenon will be there.
All right.
Yeah. Special guest.
Okay. You know, we're talking about, how... Biden is maybe, you know, a little bit older, on the older side. Michael Douglas mentioned it, right?
Yeah.
And Michael Douglas is up there as well. He wears
low
one
80s.
Of those haircuts, you know.
What do you mean? He wears a haircut. What? His hair has always looked very good.
Yeah.
Are you criticizing?
No, it's a great haircut.
It's good. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great haircut.
Why do you
But I'm talking about age here, okay?
Okay?
And, you know, we're talking about the other guy.
Yeah. The orange phenomena.
Don Snorleone.
Don Snorleone, that's right.
And, you know, he's getting up there, too.
Dozo the Clown, yeah.
So, and this was a segment out of a story. I thought I'd run this by you.
Okay, all right.
Partner of Trump's Project 2025 calls for abolishing the 22nd Amendment, allowing Trump to be in office forever. If he delivers as president, why should he be not denied another 4 years? Don't let questions of Trump's age in four years fool you. He'll be 82 at that time. Like Biden now.
Mm.
So I guess if you look at that from, you know, just kind of, wait a minute here. So it's okay to have a guy like Don Snorleone, 82 years old, to become president again and have another 4 years. But it's not okay, and it's a huge issue for Biden.
Mm.
See, it's filled with contradictions.
Of course it is.
The right-wing magas, they love the contradictions. They can play both sides anytime and anywhere they want.
Mm.
And it's just crazy. Don't let questions of Trump's age in 4 years fool you. What do you mean?
Why
it's not
going to
fool me.
Why are they bringing
82 years old is 82 years old.
That's it.
And if it's okay for him to have another 4 years at 82, why is it such an issue today for Joe Biden?
I don't know. They keep throwing things out there just to distract us as he continues with his trials today. They're talking about the hush money trial and the gag orders. That'll be on the top of the list. So I think it's just a diversion. You know, it's just don't look at these trials that are going on. Let's talk about Joe Biden's age.
Yeah. It's really a kind of a sleep watch. When will he fall asleep again next?
Well, that's it. Yeah.
And how long will it be?
How long will he be out for?
How low will his jaw drop? Yeah. You know,
will he start drooling?
And of course,
nodding off.
The magas are out there saying, of course, that he's faking it and he's just doing this to show everybody how bored he is with all the accusations, all the untrue truths that are out there.
And so it goes.
Well, you know, we'll keep
an
eye on
that. Go along with it.
Yeah.
Hey, that's going to wrap it up for us for today. Again, tomorrow, Short Stack Eatery, Wednesday mornings. That's where we're at every Wednesday, 6 to 8 a.m. stop by and say hello, have some pancakes, some breakfast with us. Right, John?
Sounds like a really good idea.
I think it's great. And we'll have more Stephanie Miller, Sexy Liberal, Save the World tickets.
Two pair.
Coming up tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Have a great day. So long.
You're listening to Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX. T. Schwabba.
On the next show, John McGivern, host of PBS's Main Streets, joins the show and we talk yacht rock with Yachtly Crew lead singer Billy Ocean.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9.
Let's get back to live music in the lair with Kaylin Cole. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103. Yes. Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually really good. That's a good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that. You'll get 50%.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at maxincradio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. You're listening to Mad Radio.
WMDX 1580 AM Columbus, W224 EG Madison,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.